It's Marketplace Tech for April 28th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Facebook is the latest public tech company to give us a financial snapshot of how it's doing this week. Expectations were high and Facebook crushed them, in part thanks to non-Facebook products. Instagram, for instance, is expected to do three times what the company paid for it in revenue this year. Will Remus at Slate has been writing about the company's evolution. He says that Facebook isn't really a social network anymore because people aren't sharing personal posts and stories as often. Will, why is this happening?
It's being blamed, according to these reports, it's being blamed on a phenomenon called context collapse, which is this academic term for the way that social media melts away the boundaries that usually exist when you communicate with people. You know, if you're in a room with somebody, you know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
But if you're talking on Facebook, you don't know who you're talking to. But Facebook has evolved into more than a social network. It is now, in my opinion, mainly a sort of personalized portal to the online world. It's what AOL wanted to be. It's what Yahoo tried to be. Nobody has ever gotten it quite right. Facebook isn't perfect either, but that's how people use it.
People at Facebook are worried about this transition, right? And what are they trying to do to stop it?
So they're trying a number of things. One was something we've talked about, I think, which is the alternatives to the like button. Another thing they're doing is Mark Zuckerberg is really pushing live video very hard. People broadcasting from wherever they are at that moment to whoever happens to be around.
Well, the company is also evolving through acquisitions, right?
It has made three really big acquisitions. There was Instagram, the photo sharing network. There was WhatsApp. And then there was Oculus, the virtual reality company. And each of these has broadened Facebook's reach in a key way. And in particular, Instagram and WhatsApp, as well as Facebook Messenger, have taken over a lot of that socialization, those personal interactions that used to happen on Facebook.
This is, of course, a week in which a lot of people are talking about Twitter as well and comparing it to Facebook. What do you think about where Twitter is?
You know, I don't think it's going anywhere. I don't think it's dying. I think it is a company that has reached something of a plateau. It's not that rocket ship that we thought it was. But it's, you know, it's at this nice cruising altitude. It's a good service. I don't think it needs to be in crisis. But it is, and it will probably continue to be until either they find something that makes it take off or they ruin it completely.
Will Remus, senior tech writer at Slate. Will, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Ben.
The massively multiplayer online environment Second Life was launched in 2003. It's a place where you can design your appearance, existence, and interact with other people in a shared space, even spend real money. Second Life's creators say it's not really a game as much as a virtual environment, and they want to bring this idea into the virtual reality near future. Philip Rosedale is the founder of Second Life. He is also founder and CEO of the new virtual reality platform called High Fidelity. Like Second Life, High Fidelity was inspired by a long tradition of virtual worlds presented in science fiction, like Neal Stephenson's book Snow Crash, where characters interact and do business in a virtual environment called the metaverse. I caught up with Rosedale in the regular old universe recently, the loud universe of downtown New York City.
So tell me about High Fidelity and the metaverse that you're creating with it.
The metaverse is this word that everybody is trying to figure out what it means now that we've got the hardware, you know, as of this month or so, to actually do all this stuff. High Fidelity is an open source platform that lets you build virtual spaces with many people in them, multi-user spaces, and there's a lot of hard technology involved in doing that. I've been interested in VR since I was a kid, and Snow Crash, written in the early 90s, was the book that many of us were reading and saying, you know, my gosh, there's got to be a way to do this. And I read it, and it was one of the inspiring things that drove me at the time that I did to try and build this first virtual world, Second Life.
So metaverse is going to be what for the average user?
Right now we have this hardware that's enabling immersion. It's enabling presence. It means that we're going to be able to replace many of the things we do in the real world, like business meetings or education or travel, with the complete use of a digital world. But it requires that we get all of us and our creative capabilities kind of into that space together.
The High Fidelity platform is free for anyone to download. How are you going to monetize?
High Fidelity, the way that we will make money is by providing a number of kind of internet scale services, like proving that your real name is such and such or your virtual name is whatever. And those are things that we think if the scale that the metaverse is going to have happens will enable us to have a good business.
That's a tricky proposition, right? I mean, you're getting into a space that's already a little bit competitive.
Another one to consider, though, is the marketplace. Second Life is actually quite remarkable still as an example. There are about 1 million people in Second Life using mice and keyboards to do what we're all about to start doing.
Yeah.
Those 1 million people spend between themselves close to $1 billion U.S. a year still in transactions in the virtual world, you know, buying furniture or buying things for their avatar. So one of the things that we will do that we think is probably the most obvious near-term way that we'll be able to make money is by facilitating a marketplace between people's virtual goods in the same way that we did with Second Life.
Philip Rosedale, he's founder and CEO of the virtual reality platform High Fidelity. He is also the founder of Second Life. Philip, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks for talking to me.
And what's the old saying? If you can't beat them, try to inform them. There is a growing body of evidence that pedestrians all over the place aren't looking where they are going because smartphones, and people are getting hurt. Well, in Germany, the city of Augsburg is installing flashing red LEDs in the actual sidewalk, sort of in the line of sight for a phone user, so people won't get run over. Good idea. Charles Brown is senior researcher for transportation at Rutgers.
My initial concern was that we would be sort of enabling bad behavior. Now, this may be somewhat true, but I see this very similar to the automatic braking system in cars.
Sidewalk LEDs plus self-braking vehicles. Maybe soon technology will save erratic pedestrians from themselves. Maybe. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.